We have gathered here today as the community of faith to ordain four new deacons who have been selected by this congregation to serve on our diaconate. Allison Honeycutt, Kim Lingerfelt, Sharon Palmer, and Nathan Hall. I want to begin with a confession. I selected the first hymn. And I know it is not politically correct. Brethren, we have met to worship. Because it's not just the brethren who meet to worship. It's the sistren and the children. And I know that sisters are relegated to the second stanza and play second fiddle. I know all of that, but I love that hymn. It's always been one of my favorite hymns since I was a little boy. And I love that hymn not because of the brethren and the sistren. I love that hymn because I've always been fascinated with the way that it ends. As we gather to worship, as we adore the Lord our God, we will experience sweet manna all around. I used to wonder, what is this sweet manna? I knew that it must be something really, really good. This sweet manna that comes when God's people gather and when we worship in spirit and in truth. And then I got old enough to read the Bible. And if you will open to the 11th chapter of Numbers, this is the chapter that Shirley read from a few moments ago. But the 11th chapter of Numbers begins with the people of God complaining. And they are complaining about manna. Sweet manna? Really? They said, we're sick and tired of this manna. This is all we have to look at. And if you look in the 4th and the 5th verses, they said, oh, we just would like to have a little meat to eat. We remember the good old days when we were in Egypt. Really? Good old days? We had good food to eat. We had fish. We had cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions. Oh, it was so wonderful. And now we have nothing to look at but this manna. 39 years ago, next month, on the final Sunday of October in 1977, I pulled up in front of my church where I had just been called to be the pastor. 23 years old, and I was the pastor of a church. Bless my heart. I will never forget how excited I was that first Sunday. I couldn't sleep well the night before. I couldn't wait to deliver my first sermon as the pastor of a church to begin this great journey in the ministry. Miss Julia Whitty, one of God's dear saints, did the bulletin every week until she finally assigned it to Joyce. But dear Miss Whitty told me, she said, now you get the bulletin together and you mail it to me. I was still in seminary. I went into the library and I worked for hours on that bulletin, on that order of service. And when I finished, I must say it was one of the finest worship services that has ever been put together. I was so proud of it. I just knew that we would worship and there would be sweet manna all around. And I carefully selected the hymns so that we would follow a unified theme in the service. And the first hymn was, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. And so I pulled up in front of the church. It was a glorious fall day, not a cloud in the sky. I walked out with this very Bible. It didn't have duct tape back then. I had on my three-piece light polyester suit. and my blue patent leather shoes. And I was ready. I mean, I was ready to start the service right then. I was just so, I could smell the sweet manna. Oh, it was going to be a glorious day. And so I'm walking up to the church, beautiful brick church. I'm walking up to the church, and here comes a little lady around the corner. And I thought, here she is, one of our dear little old ladies, faithful, of course. She's here before anybody else. And I went up to her. I stuck my hand out, and I said, hello, ma'am. I'm Ray Howell. I'm your new pastor, and I'm so excited to be here. You know, I thought she'd hug me. I thought she'd say, oh, we are just so excited about you coming. We have prayed for you to come. We just can't wait to hear your sermons. But instead, she looked at me with an icy stare, and she said, I know who you are. You're the preacher. You do the preaching. I'm the music director. I select the music. And as long as you remember that, we'll get along just fine. And she stomped off. So how's this sweet manna working out? I want to tell you something. I love Paul Freeman. Paul, I really do. You're so wonderful. Paul and I work together. I really love Paul Freeman because we work together. But I learned something that day. I learned the truth of the first verse of the 11th chapter of Numbers that begins with the words, and the people of God complained. Lord, have mercy. The people of God are prone to complain. And Moses, finally, when he heard all about the manna, that they were sick and tired of the manna, which was a miracle of God. They were sick and tired of the manna, and Moses had finally had enough. And Moses wanted to pull his hair out. And Moses became so discouraged. He said, I've had enough. He said, God, I thought you called me to be a deliverer, not a deli manager. I thought you called me to lead these people to the promised land, not to listen to all of their complaints. And he was ready to give up. He was ready to throw in the towel. Every minister, I guarantee you, has felt like that. Every leader has felt like that. There have been times that I have been discouraged. There have been times I wanted to pull my hair out. I used to be able to do that. Can't do that anymore. But we all go through this when all we hear are complaints. But God had an answer. God said to Moses, he said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, we are going to select some leaders. He said, I want you to find 70 leaders. And I am going to take some of the spirit that is upon you, and I'm going to place it upon them so you do not have to bear this burden alone. So that you are going to have some help. So that we will have shared leadership. And that's exactly what we are doing this morning. So suddenly there were 70 among the people who became their leaders, who could listen to the complaints. But when you analyze the people of God that were in the midst of the wilderness, you realize there are some things that they had forgotten. Number one, they forgot where they came from. Oh, they were talking about the wonderful food they had in Egypt, but they had forgotten that they were slaves. They forgot where they were going. God was more concerned about the big goal. He was leading them to the promised land. They were only concerned about the next meal. God was leading them to a land of promise, a land that was overflowing with milk and honey. He wanted these leaders to become problem solvers. He wanted these leaders to be visionary, to look at the possibilities of the future, to be able to take the complaints of the people and turn them into challenges and opportunities. And I believe with all of my heart that that is what God is calling our deacons to do and to be in this congregation. We need to be reminded where we came from. We need to be reminded that we are a people who have been saved by grace. Peter said, once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Once you lived in the darkness, but now you lived in the light. We need to be reminded that we, of all people, have experienced the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Almighty God. And we also need to be reminded where we are going. That it's not about today, but it's about the journey. And it's about the goal. That God is leading us to a place of promise. That we are to be builders in the kingdom of God. Our deacons, the leaders in our church, should be visionaries and should remind us of the big goal. Complaining comes from complacency. But our leaders are the ones who can take a negative word and they can turn it into something positive. Sparky, that was a great, great prayer that you had this morning, reminding us of what is really important. And those are the kind of things a good leader does. God has called us not to be complacent, but he has commissioned us to be ambassadors for Christ. We have been commissioned to be ministers of reconciliation, to be agents of change, to be vessels of hope, to be the presence of Christ, to be the light of Christ in this community. And when we do, we will discover sweet manna all around. Now, there's just one more thing in this story that I want you to notice. And I really think this is pretty funny. You see, there were 70 men who were selected. And they were told that God was going to take some of the Spirit from Moses. He was going to place it upon them. And he said, now, you need to be at this tent. And he gave them a certain time, like deacons meeting tonight is at 7 o'clock. So we need all the deacons to be there. We need all these guys to be here at a certain time. So they all gathered, well, with the exception of two. There were these two guys, Eldad and Medad. Don't you love their names? It's kind of like they should be in, oh, brother, where art thou? But for some reason, Eldad and Medad didn't show up. I don't know what happened. Maybe they didn't know how to tell time. Maybe they had a conflict. But I would think 68 out of 70 isn't bad. But this is what happened. When the Spirit came upon the 68 who had gathered at the right place at the right time according to the instructions, the Spirit of God also came upon these two guys. And they started to prophesy. I don't know exactly what that is, but it has something to do with sweet manna, I'm sure. They started to prophesy. And there was this one guy, and of all people, Joshua, who would later become the leader of God's people. Joshua runs up to Moses and said, Moses, those guys are prophesying and they didn't come to the meeting. You need to put a stop to it. And Moses said, my soul, Joshua, don't you understand that this is a lot bigger than the two who didn't come to the meeting? And then he said, are you jealous? And he said, I pray for the day when the Spirit of God would be upon all of God's people. Not just the 70, not just the leaders, but all of the brethren, all of the sistren, all of the children. I pray for that day. And that day is here. Because I'm looking into the faces of the ministers of First Baptist Church. Every one of you has received the gift of the Spirit. Every one of you has been blessed. Every one of you has been called. Called to be on mission. Called to be visionary. Called to look at the future. And so as we come to the point where we are setting apart our new deacons, I pray that all of us would recommit our lives to let God lead us and guide us and use us to His glory. And then there will be sweet manna all around.